Today we'd like to see the title of Thankful David in 2 Samuel chapters 22 and 23. To the souls on this online world, MP3 or YouTube channel on this, we'd like to suggest the three expositional questions. Number one, in chapter 22, verse 1, then David spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. What does it mean, the context, and what can we learn from here? Question 2. In chapter 22, verse 30, the God of my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. You save me from violence. What does it mean, the context, and what can we learn from here? Last question in chapter 23, verse 5. Although my house is not so with God, yet he has made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and secure, for this is all my salvation and all my desire. Will he not make an increase? What does it mean in the context, and how can apply it to our lives? In the last time in chapter Samuel, chapter 21, 2 Samuel, chapter 21, verse 22, did the four were born to the giant of Gath, and fell by the hand of David, and by the hand of his servants. David and his warriors ultimately eliminated Goliath's family along with other giants, completing the story of their destruction. These accounts highlight how the threat of these formidable foes was fully removed during David's reign. Chapter 22, verse 1. Right here, a lot of cross-reference, so we do not read cross-reference. You may read that. So we just, commentary and main text. Then David spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day when the Lord had delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of his soul. This song of thanksgiving was written, question one, after the Lord delivered David from all his enemies and from Saul. It is virtually identical to Psalm 18, not equal but identical, and celebrates God's faithful protection and the establishing of David's kingdom. David likely composed this psalm before his sin with Bathsheba, since he speaks confidently of his integrity and righteousness right here, 21-25 verses. After his repentance, however, he no longer approached God on the basis of his own righteousness, but on God's mercy and grace. This hymn expresses David's gratitude for God's continual deliverance and mighty intervention throughout his life. Verse 2, and he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The rock is a frequent biblical symbol of God's strength, stability, protection, and faithfulness. Verse 3, the God of my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. You save me from violence. David beautifully describes God with many titles: his rock, refuge, shield, horn of salvation, stronghold, and Savior. These images emphasize God's complete protection and deliverance from every danger. David's praise reflects his deep personal relationship with God. Whenever words seem inadequate to express worship, David's prayers provide an enduring example of a heartfelt praise. Verse 4, I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. Because the Lord is his refuge, fortress, and deliverer, David confidently calls upon him and is saved from his enemies. Prayer is the believer's response to God's faithful protection. 5-7, when the waves of death surrounded me, the floods of ungodliness made me afraid. The sorrows of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God and heard my voice from his temple, and my cry entered his ears. David recalls a moment when death seemed certain. Though chosen by God to become king, he endured relentless persecution from Saul and experienced seasons of fear and discouragement. Yet in his distress, he cried out to the Lord, who heard his prayer and answered from his heavenly dwelling. Verse 8-9, then the earth shook and trembled, the fountains of heaven quaked and were shaken, because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostrils, and devouring fire from his mouth. Coals were kindled by it. David describes God's intervention with vivid poetic imagery drawn from the violent thunderstorm, earthquakes, thunder, lightning, fire, and smoke symbolize God's majestic power and righteous anger against evil. Verses 10-18. He bowed the heavens also and came down with darkness under his feet. He rode upon a cherub and flew, and he was seen upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness canopies around him, dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. From the brightness before him, coals of fire were kindled. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. He sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning bolts, and he vanquished them. Then the channels of the sea were seen. The foundations of the world were uncovered at the rebuke of the Lord and the blast of the breath of his nostrils. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hate me, for they were too strong for me. David poetically portrays God descending from heaven to rescue him. The Lord intervened when David appeared trapped by Saul, sending a powerful storm that scattered the enemy, opened the way of escape. Through this dramatic language, David acknowledged that his deliverance came entirely from God. David opened the midst that his enemies were stronger than he was, but God's power was greater than theirs. The Lord drew him out of overwhelming danger and rescued him from those too mighty for him. 19-21, they confronted me in the day of my calamity. But the Lord was my support. He also brought me out into a broad place. He delivered me because of his delight in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he has recompensed me. When David faced the calamity, the Lord became his support and brought him into a place of safety because he delighted in him. The same assurance belongs to every believer. God is for his children, delights in them, not because of their own merit, but because of his steadfast love and covenant grace. Here is like is the before commissioned adultery, Bathsheba. Like that. So 20-24, for I have kept the way of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and as for his statutes, I did not depart from them. I was also blameless before him, and I kept myself from my iniquities. David was not claiming that he had never sinned. Rather, he testified that God had cleansed him after genuine repentance. In Psalm 51, David prayed to be washed and made whiter than snow, and asked God to create in him a clean heart. Likewise, during the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, believers are cleansed from sin, declared righteous, and clothed with Christ's righteousness, rather than their own. God forgives their sin and remembers them no more. Therefore, the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in His eye. With the merciful will show yourself merciful. With blameless man will show yourself blameless. At this stage of David's life, he emphasized his obedience integrity before God. However, after his grievous sins involving God, involving Bathsheba, David came to understand far more deeply that his relation with God rested not on his own righteousness. God rested not his own righteousness, but on God's mercy and grace. His joy was no longer found in his works, but in God's forgiveness. Psalm 32 celebrates the blessedness of the one whose sins are forgiven, while the New Testament teaches that believers stand before God by grace through faith in Christ, whose blood continually cleanses them. So right here is verse 27, with the pure will show yourself pure, and with the devious you shall show yourself shrewd. The expression with the devious you show yourself shrewd means that God deals justly with those who persist in crookedness and rebellion. He opposes the wicked, judges sin with righteousness, ultimately brings justice upon deliverers. Cross reference day 20-29. You will shave the humble people, but your eyes are on the haughty, that you may bring them down. For you are my lamp, O Lord. The Lord shall enlighten my darkness. God deals with people according to their response to Him. He shows mercy to the merciful, purified to the pure, and faithfulness to the upright. Jesus declared that the merciful will receive mercy, yet believers possess these qualities not through their own efforts, but because they are united with Christ. God imputes Christ's righteousness to those who trust in Him, enabling them to walk in mercy of righteousness and purity. He also saves the humble, humbles the proud, and becomes the light of those who trust Him. Cross reference there, 30-31. For by you I can warn against truth, by God I can leap over wall. As for God, His ways is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in Him. God's way is perfect, and His word has been tested and proven true. He is a shield to all who take refuge in Him. Although believers may not always understand God's purposes, they can trust that His ways are flawless and His plans are for their good. Like clay in the potter's hands, they are shaped according to His perfect wisdom. Cross reference there, 32. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? God is my strength and power, and He makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer, and sets me on my high places. Verse 35, He teaches my hand to make words, so that my arms can bend a bow or branch. The branch bow symbolizes extraordinary strength. David acknowledged that God alone had given him the power and skill to accomplish what was humanly impossible, enabling him to draw a bronze bow in battle. So cross references there, 36-39. You have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your gentleness has made me great. You enlarged my path under me, so my feet did not slip. I have pursued my enemies and destroyed them. Neither did I turn back again till they were destroyed. And I have destroyed them, wounded them, so that they could not rise. They have fallen under my feet. David recognized that every victory came from God. The Lord protected him with his saving shield, strengthened him for battle, established his step, and delivered his enemies into his hands. David's triumphs were the result of God's power rather than his own ability. 40:45, for you have armed me with strength for the battle. You have subdued under me those who rose against me. You have also given me the nets of my enemies so that I destroyed those who hated me. They looked, but there was none to save, even to the Lord, but he did not answer them. Then I beat them as fine as the dust of the earth. I trod them like dirt in the street, and I spread them out. You have also delivered me from the strivings of my people. You have kept me as the head of a nation. As a people I have not known shall serve me. The foreigners submit to me. As soon as they hear, they obey me. God subdued the surrounding nations, including Edom, Edom, Moab, Ammon, and others, and placed them under David's rule. These victories fulfilled God's promise to establish David's kingdom and demonstrate the Lord's sovereign power over the nations. 46:51. The foreigner fade away and come frightened from their hideouts. The Lord liveth. Blessed be my rock. Let God be exalted, the rock of my salvation. It is God who has avenged me and subdues the peoples under me. He delivers me from my enemies. You also lift me up above those who rise against me. You have delivered me from the violent man. Therefore, I will give thanks to your Lord among the Gentiles and sing praise to your name. He is the tower of salvation of his king and shows mercy to his anointed, to David and his descendants forevermore. David concluded this psalm with thanksgiving and praise, acknowledging that the Lord alone had strengthened him, delivered him from his enemies, established his kingdom, and fulfilled his covenant promises. God has shown steadfast love to his anointed king, and this promise ultimately pointed forward to the everlasting reign of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the son of David. Chapter 23, right here, verse 1. Now these are the last words of David. This says David, son of Jesse, this says the man raised up on high, the anointed of God of Jacob, and the sweetest psalmist of Israel. These are David's final recorded words spoken under inspiration of the Holy Spirit throughout his life. David recognized that the Lord alone is sovereign and worthy complete trust. He identified himself as the son of Jesse, the man exalted by God, the anointed king of Israel, and the sweet psalmist of Israel. The New Testament confirms that David spoke as a prophet to the Holy Spirit, foretelling the coming Messiah. Two and three, the Spirit of the Lord spoke by me, and his word was on my tongue. The God of Israel said, the rock of Israel spoke to me. He who rules over man must be just, ruling in the fear of God. David declares that the Spirit of the Lord spoke through him. He then describes the ideal ruler, one who governs with justice and in the fear of God. This prophecy finds its ultimate fulfillment in Jesus Christ, the righteous King, who reigns with perfect justice and peace. The rock of Israel ultimately refers to Christ. Paul identified Christ as the spiritual rock who accompanied Israel in the wilderness. David's words also revealed the harmonious work of the Trinity. The Spirit speaks. God declares, and the rock of Israel speaks with one divine authority. Verse 4, and he shall be like the light of the morning when the sun rises, a morning without cloud, like the tender grass springing out of the earth, by clear shining after rain. A righteous ruler brings life, blessing, and hope to his people, just as the sunrise dispels darkness, rain produces fresh grass upon the earth. David prophetically described the beauty and peace of Christ's future kingdom, when righteousness will flourish and God's glory will fill the earth. David also humbly acknowledged that his own reign fell short of the perfect standard, recognizing God's grace despite his personal failures. First Bible, although my horse is not so with God, yet he has made with me everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and secure. For this is all my salvation and all my desire. Will he not make it increase? Although David knew he had not ruled perfectly, he rested confident in God's everlasting covenant. His hope was based not on his own faithfulness, but on God's unchanging promise. The David's covenant guaranteed that God would establish David's house, ultimately fulfill his promise through Messiah Jesus Christ. David's confidence rested entirely upon God's grace rather than his own accomplishment. 6-7. But the sons of rebellion shall all be as the thorns thrust away, because they cannot be taken with hands. But the man who touched them must be armed with iron, the shaft of a spear, and they shall be utterly burned with fire in their place. In contrast to the righteous, the wicked are compared to thorn bushes that are fit only for destruction. Like thorns, they cannot be handled safely. Evil must ultimately be judged and removed, because the final judgments will completely destroy all wickedness and establish its everlasting righteousness. 8-10. These are the names of mighty men whom David had: Joseph, Bathsheba, the Tachmonite, chief among the captains. He was called Adino the Edenite, because he had killed 800 men at one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, Ahohite, one of three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines who were gathered there for battle, and the men of Israel, and retreated. He arose, attacked the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand stark to the sword. The Lord brought about a great victory and the day, and the people returned after him only to plunder. The first of David's mighty warriors was Joseph, Bathsheba, followed by Eleazar, whose unwavering courage brought a great victory of Philistines. Although these men fought valiantly, Scripture emphasizes that the Lord gave the victory. Human courage is effective only because God grants strength and success. 11-12. And after him was Shammai, the son of Agi, the Herite. The Philistines had gathered together into a troop where there was a piece of ground full of lentils. So the people fled from the Philistines, but he stationed himself in the middle field, defended it, killed the Philistines. So the Lord brought about a great victory. Some warriors courageously defended a field when others fled before the Philistines, because he stood his ground in faith. The Lord brought about a great victory. God offered to accomplish great works through those who remain faithful when others retreat. Verse 13-15. Then three of the 30 chief men went down at harvest time and came to David at the cave of Adullam, and the troop of the Philistines encamped in the valley of Rephaim. David was then in the stronghold and garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem, and David said with longing, "Oh, that someone would give me a drink of the water from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." When David was hiding in the cave of Zabulon, and Philistines occupied the Bethlehem, he longed for his drink for the well near Bethlehem Gate. He was expressed a moment of personal longing rather than command. When his mighty man regarded his desire as worth risking their life to fulfill because of their deep devotion and loyalty. So the three mighty men broke through the camp of the Philistines, drew water from the well of Bethlehem, that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink it, but poured it out to the Lord. And he said, "For be it from me, O Lord, I should do this. Is this not the blood of the man who went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore, he would not drink it." These things were done by three mighty men. The three mighty men broke through the Philistine lines and brought David warrior from Bethlehem, deeply moved by their sacrifice. David preserved it instead. He poured it out before the Lord as an offering, recognized that the world represented the lives of his faithful man. He considered such a sacrifice too precious for his own personal enjoyment, dedicated entirely to God. 18:2-19. Now Abishai, the brother of Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was cheaper another three. He lifted his spear against 300 men, killed them, and won a name among these three. Was he not the most honored of three? Therefore he became their captain. However, he did not attend to the first three. Abishai, Joab's brother, distinguished himself by killing 300 enemies with his spear. Although he became commander of the second group mighty men, he did not attain the unique honor of the three. God honored the faithful servants, yet he appoints different roles and responsibilities according to his sovereign purpose. 20:22. Benaiah was the son of Joada, the son of the valiant man from Kabbalah, who had done many deeds. He had killed two lions like heroes of Moab. He also had gone down and killed a lion in the midst of a pit on a snow day. And he killed an Egyptian, a spectacular man. The Egyptian had a spear in his hand. So he went down to him with a staff, wrestled the spear out of Egyptian hand and killed him with his own. Benaiah performed the remarkable feats of courage, including defeating two Moabite champions, killing a lion in a bit of a snow day, and overcoming a powerful Egyptian warrior with Egyptian's own spear. These victories demonstrate the fearless faith and the complete dependence upon God's strength rather than human ability. 23, these things of Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and one of the name among three mighty men. Although Benaiah was highly honored among the mighty men, he was not counted among the three. David appointed him a command of his personal bodyguard because of his proven courage and loyalty. Faith blessed often prepares God's servant for greater responsibility. He was more honored than 30, but he did not attend the 30 as David appointed his guard. 24:39. Ashar, the brother of Joab, was one of the 30. Elian, son of Joab of Bethlehem. Shamar, the Harodite. Elika, the Harodite. Helezer, the Palite. Ira, the son of Ikashi, Tekwite. Abiazah, the Anatotite. Mebunai, the Hashuite, Shalom, the Ahohite, Marai, the Netophatite, Helab, the son of Bana, Ittai, the son of Libai, from Gibeah, children of Benjamin, Benaiah, Piratothnite, he died from the brooks of Gaasi, Ebiabon, the Arabathite, Azimabeth, the Baronhumite, Eliaba, the Shabonite of the sons of Jason, Jonathan, Shamar, the Herorite, Aham, the son of Shar, the Herorite, Eliphelet, the son of Abashai, the son of Makatai, Eliam, the son of Aitopia, the Gilonite, Hezarai, the Geramelite, Perai, the Arabite, Igal, the son of Nathan of Joba, Banai the Gadite, Jelek the Ammonite, Naharai the Bererotite, Amobere of Joab, the son of Jeruah, Ira the Itrite, Gera the Itrite, and Uri the Hittite, 37 in all. This passage records David's elite warriors, including the 30 and the 3. Although the 30 eventually included more than 30 names, 37, as the fallen soldiers were replaced, the title demanded the official designation of this distinguished corps. The list concluded with Uriah the Hittite as a sobering reminder of David's greatest personal failure. Even in chapter celebrating David's mighty men, Scripture quietly recalls the man whose death resulted from David's sin. This ending reminds the believers that God's grace is abundant, yet sin carries lasting consequences. These warriors demonstrate how God uses the faithful, courageous, and often unlikely people to accomplish His purposes. Their victories ultimately testify not to human greatness, but to the Lord, who gives strength, courage, and triumph to those who trust in Him. So all cross-reference right there. We covered all the questions. Continue to keep on prayer for especially Baltic mission tourists. We are preparing mission cards and giving them. So a Baltic shipped about 3,000 Muslim European there. We pass out, you know, with different, you know, Norway, Sweden, Denmark, and Germany, and so on. So there is the very few living Christians. So although there is a Protestant, in particular Martin Luther, Christians coming there. So continue to keep on praying for that. May God bless you. Let's just sing all together Maranatha song on brochure.